Well, good morning, church. I'm going to be preaching out of John chapter 3 this morning, so if you want to turn there. Recently, North Korea launched a long-range ballistic missile, and that's kind of scary in the hands of the North Korean dictator there. In response, South Korea is talking with the United States about deploying the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or the THAAD, systems which can intercept missiles in flight. Well, last week, someone tried to blow up a Turkish airline flight. The bomb exploded shortly after takeoff, killing the suicide bomber and blowing a huge hole in the plane. If the plane would have been at a higher altitude, it probably would have killed everyone on board. We know there are terrorists, if they possess them, would use weapons that could destroy large populations. James Clapper, director of National Intelligence, testified Tuesday before the Senate Armed Services Committee that ISIS had made and deployed chemical weapons and had used them in Iraq and Syria. More nations than ever before have access to weapons of mass destruction, and some are requiring the ability to deliver those weapons anywhere in the world. Other hostile nations and groups are seeking to have weapons of mass destruction. Man has the capacity and the tendency to destroy himself in his world, and men have shown a tendency, especially within the last 100 years, to be most progressive at finding new ways of killing one another. Is there hope for this world? Someone might be here today, and you might say to me, it really doesn't matter if there's hope for the world or not, because my life is on the verge of being destroyed right now. You may say to me, my family's on the brink of destruction. You might say, the financial pressures are piling up and I don't see any way out. You might say, my health, I just don't know how to deal with the things that I'm dealing with, that I'm going through right now. Maybe nobody knows it, but maybe your marriage is in trouble and it's about to self-destruct. Maybe you have a son or a daughter that's ruining their lives and ripping apart your family through alcohol or drug addiction, or maybe just rebellion toward everything that you believe in. Maybe today someone or something has a hold on your life that you cannot seem to break. And you might tell me today that death is near, and you're afraid of dying and afraid what will happen to you after you die. You might not say it in church, but in your mind you're saying, my life is terrible. It's a living hell right now. Is there hope for me? Is there hope for my family? Well, I want you today to know there's hope for this world, and there's hope for you individually because of what Jesus said to Nicodemus 2,000 years ago. And this is what he said, and you know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only Son of God. You see, God's love for the world gives hope to the world, and it gives hope to each of us today. You see, God loves the world. The world is not just set in motion to either make it or be broken. God is not some kind of unconcerned deity out there just threw it all together and said, whatever happens, happens. No, he is intensely concerned about his world. We're not left to our own devices to try and survive. God chose to love the world. Now, God sees the world in all its sinfulness and corruption and evil and violence and decay and death, and he chooses to love the world. And he sees your life and my life, as messed up as they might be, and he chooses to love us. You see, the love of God is not love is blind. It's not that kind of love. It's a seeing love that recognizes evil all around and even in us. And God says, I will love and I will do something about it. God has intervened in our world, and he can and he will intervene in our world again, and he can and he will intervene in your life and my life. You see, God does not just love the world in general, but he loves you and me specifically. You might think nobody loves me, nobody cares, but I want you to know today that God loves you and God cares. As a child in Vacation Bible School, I learned that I could put my name in that verse and I could say, for God so loved Bob Ray. Bob Ray, that he gave his only son. And I believe that. I believe the scripture teaches that God loves you individually. You can put your name in that verse. He knows you and he loves you. He knows your hurts and your pain. And he knows your problems and your sin and the evil that is within you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you more than you love yourself. You're not a number to God. You're not someone who's lost in the crowd. In fact, the Bible says God's numbered the hairs on your head. Now, have you ever thought about that? You know, it's not just that he knows you have 5,000 hairs on your head. It's that each of them has a number. You know, I used to have good hair. I miss my good hair, you know. I don't really mind growing old as much as I mind losing my hair. But, you know, when I'm in the shower and one of those hairs falls out, God knows that 3,456 just left. See, he knows us that specifically. He knows us individually. And he loves you. And it doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done, where you've been or haven't been, what your social status is, what family you came from, God loves you. Now you might say to me, talk is cheap. My life's pretty rough. And I don't see evidence of God's love a lot. How can you tell me that God loves me? How can you prove to me that God loves me? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because God proved his love by giving Jesus to die for us. Love is never just a queasy feeling, some sentimental emotion. It's an action. It always seeks for the best of another person, and it reveals itself by giving. True love always gives. We talk, we sing a lot about love, but we don't love in many ways. We see people profess their love for one another in movies or on TVs or read about in books. But a lot of times when people say, I love you, what they really mean is, I love me and I want you. God doesn't mind you asking him to prove his love, because he knows that you've heard about it a million times and you're not even sure if there's anything that's truly love. You don't even know if that means anything. You see, God proved his love for you by giving Jesus, his one and only son, to die for you. Now think about that. God gave his only begotten, his one of a kind, unique son, the one he has in eternal relationship. God the Father and God the Son are in, and God the Holy Spirit are in eternal relationship with one another. And he gave his son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Notice it says he gave. And it doesn't, in other places it says God sent his son, but here it says he gave his son. You see, I think that implies there was a sacrifice in God, for God to give his son. There was a sacrifice involved in the heart of God that he would give his son for you and I. We read it this morning. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, I know God loves you, and I can look at any person anywhere in the world and I can assure them that God loves them, because Jesus proved it. He died for us on the cross. He died for every person you will look at. On January the 13th, 1982, a plane took off from the Washington, D.C. airport. It was on its way to Florida. But the plane had not been properly de-iced. And as it flew over the 14th Street Bridge that went over the Potomac River, it hit the bridge and the plane plunged into the icy Potomac. Six passengers managed to reach the surface of the river, and they were in the middle of the river treading water. And there was a news helicopter crew that spotted the people in the middle of the river, and they had a rope, and they dangled the rope out to the people, and one by one they would lead these people to safety. The crew reported that there was one guy that continually grabbed the rope, but then he passed it to someone else who was in the water. And he did this one time, and he did this two times, and he did this three times, and he did this four times, and he did this five times, to where when they came back the sixth time to rescue the man who unselfishly passed the lifeline to others, the elements were too much, and he had sunk into the river. We found out later the man's name was Arlen Williams, Jr. You know, I doubt if he had a chance to say to those other five people, "I love you." But he really didn't have to, did he? He proved he loved them. He gave his life for them. You see, God proved he loved you. You want proof? I'm showing you proof. Jesus died for you so that you could live, so that your sins could be forgiven. What more could he have done? People always say, you know, God's got to prove himself to me. I mean, what more can God do for you than give his son for you? Did you hear about the 15-year-old Xavier William Dobson in Tennessee? In December, he was sitting on the porch with three of his friends, and a car came by and randomly sprayed the porch with bullets. There were two rival gangs in this area, and they were at war that night. But Xavion and the three girls who were sitting on the porch were not a part of either gang. They were just sitting there innocently, just visiting on the porch. When they came by and they sprayed the porch with bullets, Xavion immediately threw his body over the three girls there, and he shielded them from flying bullets, and he saved their lives. But he was killed. The girl said if Xavier had just sat there, or if Xavier had run and done nothing, they would have been dead. But he gave his life for those girls, his friends on the porch. You know, you remember the Aurora shooting a few years ago? I guess the guy's on trial, or I don't even know the status of it right now. But three of the 12 people who died in Aurora were young men who literally laid the bodies on top of their girlfriends to shield them from a madman's bullet. I think they proved their love, and I want to tell you today, I think God's proved his love. Whenever you look at the circumstances of your life and wonder whether God loves you, I'm telling you, you're looking at the wrong place. Look at the cross. Look at what Jesus did for you there. He did it for you, for me, so that we could be forgiven and have life. He loves you. He gave his only son. God proved his love by giving Jesus to die for whosoever. I love that word, whoever. Whoever believes in Jesus can have eternal life. The offer is open to anyone and everyone who will believe. None are excluded from the offer. It's for anyone in the world who will believe. American, Aborigine, African, Asian, Australian, European, Eskimo, Indian. Anyone who will believe can have eternal life. The offer is open. The word believe means more than just intellectual assent. It means to entrust with, to cling to rely upon wholly and totally. In sign language, you point, if I remember this correctly, you point to your forehead and then you grasp your hands together at right angles, and it means a thought you can hold. To believe is a thought you can hold. Believing in Jesus means more than just knowing the facts about him. It means taking hold of him as the only way to life and forgiveness and hope and purpose and meaning. In effect, it's saying to you, to Jesus, I give you my life. I will live for you because you died for me. And you are trusting in what he did and what he alone did for your salvation. Believing has a beginning point. There's a time when you come to totally rely on Jesus. I'm not saying you have to name the exact time and minute, but in your life, if you're a believer, there was a time you didn't believe, and now there's a time that you do believe. There's a time when you come to totally rely on Him and turn the control of your life to Him. Believing is not something, though, that you do today and that you forget about tomorrow. If you believe, you will continue to believe. If you truly believe, you'll continue to believe. You'll place your faith in Jesus and live for Him now on. You know, a lot of people say, well, I used to believe, but I don't. Well, I'm saying, I don't think you believe like the Bible's talking about. Because if you put your trust in Christ, it goes on. You know, I believe in what we call the eternal security of the believer. But I worry about people that use that as an excuse to sin, because a believer is one who believes and follows Jesus as Lord. It's not just believing Him and then just living any way you want. It's trusting Him with your life. You're stopping living for yourself and living for Him. And you see, if you really believe, that lasts forever. If you believe in Jesus, He promises you life. This stated in verse 16 in a negative and a positive way. It says, if you believe in Him, you will not perish. The word perish never means to suffer annihilation or cease to exist. When God created you in the moment of conception, you became a person who will exist forever. You will exist forever in heaven or hell. The word perish in the Bible means eternal and total rejection by God. It has the idea of separation, of death. You know, the Bible talks about three kinds of death. The first one's obvious. That's physical death, when the body is separated from the soul. That's physical death. But then there's spiritual death that happened when Adam and Eve sinned. The scripture says they would die, and people said, well, they didn't die. Adam lived 900 years. But he was separated from the presence and the goodness of God for the rest of his earthly life because of his sin. And see, spiritual death is when man's spirit is dead in sin and he is separated from God. That's spiritual death. The scripture says all outside of Christ are dead spiritually. You know, and you read verses 17 and 18, it says God did not come to condemn the world, but the world might him to be saved. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already. You see, if you're dead spiritually, it's not that you're one day going to be condemned. You're already condemned because you're separated from God and haven't put your faith in Jesus. You're already condemned, and God's will is that you move from death to life. It's not like you're going to be under God's wrath. If you don't believe, you're already under God's wrath. That's spiritual death. But then there's the third kind of death, which the Bible talks about, the second death or eternal death. If you die physically without believing in and clinging to Jesus, you'll be separated from the goodness and mercy of God forever. The Bible says that's the worst possible thing that could happen to you. It's called the second death or hell. So there's a negative aspect about believing, but there's a positive aspect. Believing has a positive aspect. If you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life. Now, the Greek word for life here is the word zoa. And it has the idea of God's kind of life. It has the idea of life in communion and fellowship with God. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You see, eternal life knows God as an intimate friend. It has the spiritual, the idea of spiritual deliverance from the penalty of sin, and it's not just a quantity of life; it's life with God. You see, we will all exist forever, but life, having eternal life, means knowing God and being with Him, and having your sins forgiven because of what He has done for you. It's life with God in Jesus Christ. That's the very reason we're created. We were created to have an eternal relationship with God. We were created to know Him and enjoy Him and be His servants and His friends and adore and worship the great God of the universe. Augustine said this, "You made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in you." You see, that's the life God wants you to have today. And it's available if you will believe, if you will receive the one who came to give it to you. It's not hard. It's not difficult. All the stuff that we try to do to get right with God, it won't make you right with God. But believing, trusting in Jesus will make you right with God. Your sins will be forgiven and you will be given eternal life. You must respond impersonally though today. I can't respond to God for my children or my wife or my parents or anyone else. I must say yes to God myself, and I must encourage others to trust and believe and put their faith in God. It's that simple. Will you do that today if you've never done that? David Ring was born with cerebral palsy. And for much of his young life, he was made fun of. When he was 11, his father was diagnosed with liver cancer, and he died within 2 weeks. When he was 14, his mother was diagnosed with cancer, and David and his 7 brothers and sisters were told that she won't live for more than 6 weeks. David's mother was his protector, his caregiver. And David said, as the youngest of 8, he was an A1, number one mama's boy. That's what he said about himself. So he prayed that his mother would not die, but she did die. And David really wanted to die himself. He was living with an older sister who kept encouraging him to go to church with her. And finally, basically, just to get her off his back, he went. And he heard the pastor that night that he went talking about that God's love for him. And David thought in his mind, if God loves me, how come He broke my heart? And as he was thinking that, it's as if God spoke to him with this thought, David, I'm the one wanting to come into your broken heart and heal it. I'm the one who died for you, and I want to be with you and I help you through the sorrows of life. And on that night, David found hope in Jesus. This is Valentine's Day. This is a day of love. My mom always said I was her Valentine baby. I'm telling you, there's no greater love than the love of God. There's no one who will love you more than He will love you. Girls, there's no guy that can love you like God loves you. I'm telling you, I love my wife, but I don't love her like Jesus loves her. Young men, there's no woman that can love you like God loves you. He loves you. And His love is what makes life worthwhile. His presence, knowing Him. If you're looking for anything, any love, real love anywhere else, I'm telling you, you will die disappointed because you won't find it. But God's love is real and it's available. And you just have to simply believe. Anything holding you back from believing? Any of the horrible circumstances of your life? Find hope today in the words of Jesus, in this word, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Let's pray together. You know, I'm not just preaching to you that you will have intellectual enlightenment. For some of you, maybe today you really have understood that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, He rose again, And maybe you're sensing His presence, Him saying, let me save you. Let me come into your life. Surrender yourself to me. See, if God is speaking to you today, and that's what He's saying, please receive Him into your life. Christians, have you been so discouraged by the circumstances of your life? The financial pressures or the family pressures? Remember today that in the circumstances of your life, God loves you, and you can trust Him, and He will help you, and He will be there for you. Don't get so discouraged that you forget that in Jesus there is always, always hope. Lord, I want to thank You that You didn't just say You loved us, but You showed us. I pray that today that if there are those who are doubting Your love, whether they're believers today, they just need to remember the hope that they have. Or maybe today they've never put their trust in Jesus, they're looking for love, but they've never found the One who loves them more than they love themselves. I pray that today they would receive You into their lives. I thank You, Lord, that Your love is real. I thank You, Lord, that it's observable. I thank You, Lord, that nobody loves us more than You do. And we can't even begin to love each other like You love us, but we thank You that You do keep loving us. Open our eyes to Your presence and Your power, and most of all this morning, to Your love. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.